I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
I'm April, VP of the cutting-edge sex toy company Hot Octopus, and I dedicate my life to the business of sex.
We are on a mission to teach you how to have hot sex, deep intimacy, and how to make your own rules for who you are as a sexual being.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution. Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
It's welcome. November.
Oh, what's November?
I have your mustache. I have my mustache on right now.
No, you don't.
I shaved it.
Do you shave?
I just use a, what's that, buzzy
thing? Oh, I love the buzzy thing.
Actually, the Manscaped thing, but.
Oh, you use the Manscaped on your face? Nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't have that many hairs.
You actually have, like, very little hair in your body.
I know,
body.
But I get, like, one or two.
I get the full bush.
Yeah.
I get, like, full beard.
I know you do, you, but you have so much hair.
I know. I have a lot of hair.
Like, you have like three sprouts for every follicle.
If I were to grow out my full bush, it would be like the most massive.
The 70s porn bush?
Yes. Like,
down
but
your legs?
Bigger. Yeah. Like growing up on the sides of the thighs. My partner wants to be like, can you just grow out all of it? I was like, I don't think. So I rock a bush, but I trim it. With the Manscaped, by the way, because Volvo
this
owners
is not
can use
even
it too.
A podcast.
No, it's not.
No, we just use it because
but,
we have.
But if I was to go full bush, it would be like full on. Even like the most conservative bathing suit, you would see bush sticking out.
And you've seen me after not shaving for like 7 days.
Like, where's your hair, bitch?
And I'm like, it's not there. But with the mustache thing.
It's November.
It's November. This is why we're talking about
prostate
this.
Prostate Awareness Month.
It's all about penis owning health. Like yeah. penis
Which
penis
is next
owners.
Week's episode.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. This episode is about squirting. And this episode's fucking awesome.
Oh my God, I learned so much.
I love him, Kenneth Play. But just to finish it off, we are opening the month of November to raise awareness about just health in general of penis owners because
yep.
we know that the butt can be a bit scary for some penis owners.
The butt can be real scary.
But we'll talk about that next week, so tune in about prostate health, but that's why we're talking about mustaches.
And pleasure.
And we're telling you about our bushes.
Yeah, and our own side note, bushes.
And I tried to shave my anus hair and almost cut myself.
Oh, yeah, that
so
one
don't
time.
Don't do that. No, whoopsies. I did it again.
Oh, again? Really?
Yeah, I just got to find the right angle. Jesus. It's only the left side.
You want me to do it for you?
I don't know if
it
I'm
might be
comfortable
a better choice.
With that yet.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, anyways, so this is about how to squirt, gush, and have juicy orgasms. Specifically talking about pleasuring vulva-owning individuals who have G-spot, G-areas. Although, he does say there are ways to do it without touching the G-spot. Clitoral stimulation, all kind of anal stimulation. He talks about all of it.
I love how he combines. So you'll listen. He's a super knowledgeable human, but he combines science all of the. So, but he was also a personal trainer. So he uses like this gym kind of approach.
Like it's like a sex hacker, but like with all the science behind
it. Like a trainer, if you hired a trainer. And I love that because he worked with Dr. Jana, who's been on our show before.
She's amazing.
And there's a lot of solid research and statistics around the information that he's providing.
And a lot of personal experience too.
Also.
He's
and
been rubbing
a lot of
G-spots.
Videos that I consented to watching.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, that is quite fascinating /
pretty sure if we recorded
amazing.
This in person, because he's in New York, right?
Yeah. New York, Brooklyn. I think it was
in
Brooklyn.
So if we did this in person, I'm pretty sure I at least could have had my G-spot rubbed by him.
That's what
you
said.
Yeah. He would have showed me how to do it.
I was like, I would have not participated, but I would have been like the reporter at the voyeur.
And I'd be like, so this is what I learned, everyone. And because my body is, well, a research temple. And anyways, just a little side note. I'm going through some personal shit right now. So if you ever hear me sound like a fucking dumbass, that's because I'm on the verge of tears left and right. I'm okay.
And I'm just a robot.
April's a robot, but I'm going through a lot of personal stuff. And so I'm just going to be real about that.
But
that,
I'm here for your chip. Shake and bake, baby. Shake
I got
and
this
bake.
Girl over here. She's like, I got you. I'm like, can you get me today?
Because I do feel like the world, though, and I don't know if anybody else has been feeling that. I don't know if it's the change, if you're on the Northern Hemisphere, I don't know if it's the changing of the seasons, because it has felt more cold and it's getting darker and we're changing the clocks back in the United States. In some states, starting this Sunday before, I mean, this podcast is going to come out after that, but I feel like collectively, I have other friends going through some shit too. And as a collective whole, I put out an Instagram post of you and I on my personal one yesterday because I was like, wow, I feel like we all just need more love. There's a lot of shit out there right now that's, even when I scroll through like the documentaries, I'm like, this is all so fucking depressing. I'm just going to watch Friends again.
Yeah.
It's or Sex in the City.
Some joy and laughter or just more gentleness.
Just more love. And that's what I've just been calling it, more love. And I feel you and it's a hard place to be in. And sometimes even whether you're a person of any caliber, any age, life can be fucking hard.
We thought it would get easier too. It just doesn't get easier.
Yeah. You know, I did think, I was like, once I hit maybe 30s,
it'll be so easy.
It'll be so easy. And I'm like, no, this fucking shit sucks.
Well, also got harder because we started doing the deep work and then you open up the doors, which is a blessing, by the way. I recommend doing the deep work, but it opens up the doors to like, holy shit, now I know how to really feel everything. And there's a lot to feel. It's like our lifetime of feeling. And sorry if y'all don't believe in ancestral trauma, but I'm deep in that stuff. And so, and there's no one to blame. It's just a part of the experience.
No, I blame my dad. You know what? I'm still holding on to that. No.
So I go into my dad. All right. Read me a testimonial, shit. Chip.
This is such a good testimonial. When we received this, it was just a few days ago. I was really elated by every word. So thank you to this listener. We're not going to say your name, but thank you for sending this testimonial. I loved your episode with Kyer Wilshire. The essay he read near the end was so poignant. I share the desire for normalization of the human body and its innate beauty. I also made my first order from Pure Pleasure Shop and am having some fun with that. And I got on Field a while back and have had some interesting experiences there. That was in air quotes. You gals really are wonderful. And I love that he called us gals.
Yeah.
Thanks for what you're doing.
Yeah, you keep having fun. And so Kyer was the one who took a whole bunch of bonus episode with lovely photos of us. We can't say the location because we weren't supposed to be half naked there, but we were half naked there in Santa Cruz somewhere. And if you're not following us on Instagram, go to Shameless Sex Podcast on Instagram and you'll be able to see some of
them. Why weren't we allowed to be naked there?
I can't say why, because they might know where it is, but we were not allowed.
Okay. Why? My detective, April, the dildo detective.
I'll tell
detective.
You later. I'm the dildo I'll tell detective. You later why, but it's a perfect location. And it's still private, and they're beautiful. We're starting to put them on Instagram, but his episode was about taking erotic self-portraits and as well as hiring someone to do erotic self-portraits, and then also about, you know, the sexting culture and the ways we can set the scene, you know, it's not like
to take
some
your
dirty socks in the background or lighting
or a turd in the toilet
oops, that was not me. I had nothing to do with that.
No, it wasn't, but it was.
It was great. And the essay you're speaking about was someone who, look, if you saw the photo of that person, they like, oh my God, they're so perfect. They would never have had body shame. And in that they were saying, I have body shame. I wish the whole world could be more free to be naked. And it was really helpful.
I started
that experience.
Crying. Well, I didn't. Wasn't hysterically crying, but I teared up and had to hold
That's
it
crying.
Back during the when we were interviewing him when Kyer read the essay, because it was so beautiful and the photos. I mean, I have the book here at my house. It's a coffee table book. Their photos are just incredible too. So just in time for the holidays. I mean, what do you get someone that has everything? I was thinking that a book of natural beauty, naked people doing things
is vulva owning. Individuals.
Yeah, this is true.
All over, but in the most
tasteful,
but in beautiful nature. The one with the fucking waves. Okay, don't even get me started. Go check it out, everyone. Are you ready for a sex question?
Yes, please.
All right. I just listened to the episode with Lisa Lampanelli, which was last week, I believe, or the week before.
Doesn't matter.
Good question. It's a comedians talk about sex and relationships. And it was eye-opening, particularly when she was talking about not even thinking about sex anymore. I'm a male, late 40s, married to a female who is 6 years older. She has been through menopause, and since then, her sex drive has plummeted. I admit it has been a struggle for me, as we used to have a robust sex life. I'm not seeking any ways to change her attitude towards sex. I get is largely physiological and beyond her control, but I am looking for ways to manage my sex drive, with the caveat that masturbation in my home is challenging because of 3 adult children still living at home, and quite frankly, my wife's lack of interest in all things sexual has extended to making me feel like a deprived pervert if I mention a need or desire to take care of matters myself. Woo, tricky stuff. And also, we just got that other message on Instagram, by the way, from a listener who was slightly triggered by that podcast.
Right. And we did have a disclaimer because that was an out of the box podcast for us. We typically don't do, we love all sorts of and support comedians. Nick's been on our show before, Nick Scopoletti, who was part of their podcast. And we were free rolling and we knew they're not sex educators, but they're funny as hell.
And they're like talking about sex.
And they're talking about themselves. And then, I mean, she was a roaster on Comedy Central.
That's her job. Yeah.
That was her job to roast. And she's fucking good and she's genius. Yeah. And when we were talking, I was like, oh, this is going to trigger some folks. And we understand. And there's a lot of I think light around just laughter and the medicine of laughter.
Yeah.
Because that helps. And obviously we don't want it to be at anyone's expense.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the feedback from folks that felt compelled to let us know. And also I encourage people to, right? Sometimes stuff isn't going to be comfortable.
Well, I think a lot of the conversations we have is that your brain is your largest sex organ, that anything is possible. If you work hard enough at whatever you want, then you can obtain it. And hormones are a real thing. Aging is a real thing. And while I don't want to say, okay, fine, you go through menopause, it's all over. And Lisa Lampanelli, actually, when she said that, we were like, wow, you're the first person we've had that said, this changed. She's 60 now. She's like, all the holes are closed. I'm fucking happy about it.
And that's pretty shameless if you think about
it. Totally.
And she's honoring her wishes because we asked her questions on that on the show about masturbation and if the right person came along. And
she also spoke about the codependency stuff and how there's been a lot of hard stuff that made it. She's finally liberated. And so for the person that was triggered, we're not actually grateful for your message, which wasn't this sex question person, because I understand what you're saying, that if we normalize it and we did not give the warning before, people might buy into that and be like, oh yeah, oh that's fine. That's just how it's supposed to be. There's not one way it's supposed to be.
Some people all say sex gets better after 60.
Totally, 100%. It's different for everyone. And so for this person who is saying, I don't want to change my partner, I'm just looking at how to manage my high sex drive that still exists. What are my options here? Like, what do I do? You have 3 children at home. You want to masturbate more. What do you do? Well, showers and the bathroom and your private time in that space can be a good place. It muffles sound. It's a space just for you. So, you know, there still are. I mean, we visit sex shops all over the country. There still are sex shops that have rooms where you can go and do your masturbation business. It still exists.
And so the menopause piece, which I don't know the age difference between the two. He said he's in his late 40s.
She's 6 years older.
She's 6 years older, so she's probably in her 50s. We've had episodes with urologists, too, on the show that have said that with menopause and changing bodies and hormones, there are things that are available to folks. The episode with Dr.
Oh, Nicole Eisenbrown.
Good job. Yeah. See, you're sharp.
Well,
as
I love
fucking
that. That was
tack,
a good
bro.
Episode.
That, for instance, was informative and it gave me hope for getting older. And I don't want to close all of my holes ever. And if I need to take it in a nostril, I will.
It's deep.
Just saying. So I just.
But that's everyone's personal choice.
It is. And I completely support that. I'm just saying if this dude, male, sorry, I'm calling you dude. My mom would be mad because I call her dude too.
Dude.
But if your partner's open to perhaps exploring ways to initiate
more desire arousal shifts.
Right. That could be hormonally shifted with treatments from a urologist or with different, I mean, there's so many. It just depends on the human. It depends on what they're into. It depends on how much money you want to spend, because that shit can get expensive.
Totally.
And I don't know if your insurance, why does insurance uncover that?
I don't know. They
should.
Yeah.
I'm going to should someone, just
seriously.
Kidding,
well, it would make the world a happier place. But also, so this person is also saying they feel like a depraved pervert if they mentioned their need or desire to take care to take matters into their own hands. And it's interesting that when your wife had a sex drive, you weren't the pervert. But now that they don't, now you're a pervert because you haven't changed. And that's interesting to me, because I think that's just society's shame. Like, there's something wrong with you now that the balance is off, or there's a change, or there's something that's different. But you're still just fine. You're you.
Well, I'm wondering if that... So they're also saying that both of them, obviously, they have three adult children living at home. So my thing that I just wanted to approach in a way that maybe the depraved pervert comment, which I would, I would encourage you to not ever think you're a depraved pervert, because if it's a lack of privacy or thinking that you don't have the space to be on your own sexual pleasure game because you live with people, and I don't know the size of their home, but sometimes you lack privacy. That happened to me when I lived with my partner and a teenager. I'd feel like sometimes I could only go in the bathroom by myself with my vibrator that's fucking loud. And there was shame around that. Or someone would walk in and I'd be like, oh my God, did they hear? And so that can be really challenging. So one thing, which isn't easy, if you ever feel compelled to, you don't have to talk about your masturbation practice or anything with your children, but you could say, I need some self-care time.
Yeah.
Or something.
That's what Lisa Welsh just said, I believe. Like,
Totally.
Yeah. Well,
that was last episode.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
That was last episode. That, like, it doesn't have to be, I need to go pleasure myself or wank myself or bang out myself or whatever you're doing.
Me time.
But I need some me time. So I'm going to close this door and no one bug me until I come out.
Yeah.
And that could be a thing, right?
And the last thing I'll add here that will trigger warning to people who are triggered when we talk about non-monogamy. And sometimes when there's desire discrepancy issues, which is what's happening right now in this relationship where one person wants more sex or touch or whatever, and the other one wants less. If that's really important to us, speaking to the person that has more desire, sometimes you might need to weigh out how important that is and speak to that. It might not mean, it's not like ultimatum, you know, I need to go fuck other people, and if not, then I'm going to leave you.
I have something to add to that, because so it's the digital age. You can use cam models and sex toys, and if you can check in with your partner first, that feel like you can, well, you can watch porn. There's certain
satisfiers, Bluetooth sex toys.
That's what I'm saying. And you can have devices that link up to products. So there's tech out there that doesn't require you to go outside and find a sex worker or cheat on your partner or spouse.
Or even find a third ethically.
Right. So yes, I'm saying if the conversation isn't received well by the partner and the ethical non-monogamy isn't on the table, which for some folks it just wouldn't be, that is another option, and I love that option.
Totally, and I think it's still worthy of a conversation if it's super important to you. The shitty thing is that you're feeling like a depraved pervert, and that's not your wife's fault, and that's also not how you want to live your life. So, like, what can you do to take matters into your own hands to make it so that you don't have to feel that way without pressuring your partner to change because you don't want to do that too? How can you work together and make something beautiful out of something that's really challenging? So, which will lead me into something that is a little related but a little different, because here's the thing. When bodies change, so can our desires for touch. I know my body, I'm 36. The ways I like to be touched now are different from when I was 20. Sometimes they differ every day. And this is one reason why I love OMGS. If you go to omgs.com/shameless, you will know what I'm talking about. They have two different seasons. The first one is all about external play. So this is for vulva owners, how to touch the vulva externally. Whether you're a vulva owner and you want to learn how to have bigger, better orgasms, maybe you don't know how to touch yourself, or maybe you love vulvas and you want to learn how to touch them. Season 2 is all about internal pleasure. And it shows you these real-time videos with how many, was it 20,000?
So there's 20,000 vulva owners, 18 to 95 years old. And these are scientific studies, y'all. So they're conducted in partnership with a university and the Kinsey Institute, which are all researchers, which I'm so grateful for. And omgs.com/shameless, you can get 10% off both seasons, one season, and that's locked in for life. Totally. So you don't have to buy it again and again. It's one time, and then you can get all of the tools, and there's modules, and they're short, and they're so fucking practical.
It's tasteful. It's not porn. It's really well done. No. And we're visual learners. And for this next question right here, like, maybe also y'all just need to learn new ways to touch because the bodies have changed. Now, I'm not guaranteeing it's like guaranteed orgasm, but let's not try to learn as our bodies change more. Or if your body feels great and you're having great orgasms, why not check it out and learn more tips?
Elle Magazine said it's the best gift you could ever give yourself, which I love.
It is. All my clients would attest to that.
So. I know.
Go check it out, everyone. All right, read us a bio, Chip.
All right, then. I love Kenneth Play, by the way.
He's the best. We're going to have him back on the show, too, by the way.
He can share. We have to, because he's so fucking good. Okay. Kenneth Play is an international expert on female pleasure who was named the world's greatest sex hacker by GQ and Men's Health. Kenneth has been featured by more than 100 media outlets, including the New York Times, Nightline, Cosmo, Playboy, Vice, and Huffington Post. Kenneth's forthcoming book, Beyond Satisfied, A Sex Hacker's Guide to Endless Orgasms, Mind-Blowing Connections, and Lasting Confidence, will be released in 2022. To learn more, visit kennethplay.com and use code SHAMELESS for 50% off his Sex Hacker Pro course. But first, listen up, y'all. It's the age of convenience and technology. It's also about time to trade in your aging, outdated vibrator to get yourself a cutting-edge pleasure device that will have you feeling satisfied you're living in this digital age. Satisfyer makes affordable and beautiful vibrators and air pulse stimulators that we love. With their new line of Bluetooth-enabled products, you can pair your Satisfyer with the Satisfyer Connect app. This means you can take your long-distance love to a new level because the app allows you to connect with someone in another room or another country. Now, that's satisfying.
I love air pulse stimulation so much that on my last weekend getaway, I packed the love triangle. It's incredible because it gently wraps around your clit and delivers a combination of pressure, waves, and vibrations. Now, the love triangle is as essential as my toothbrush. Satisfyer is offering our lucky listeners 30% off any Satisfyer when you go to satisfyer.com and enter code SHAMELESS30 at checkout. Again, if you're looking for one of our favorite new devices, go to satisfyer.com and use code SHAMELESS30 for 30% off. Go check it out. You will be so satisfied. All right, it's interview time. All right, everyone. Guess what time it is? It's not tool time. It is.
Maybe it is.
Some of all the young humans are like, what the fuck is tool time? Nope, it's squirting time, gushing time. It is interview time. And we are here today with Kenneth Play. And let me tell you, so if you go to shamelesssex.com and you look up the number 1 to 5 top Googled episodes or topics, it's anal and squirting. And so we are here today. Well, we might talk about anal because it comes up all the time. It's a universal orifice. Everyone has one. We are here to talk about squirting. We're gushing the how-tos. What is it all about? How do you do it? How do you learn to do it for yourself? How can you have a partner squirt and provide that wonderful, beautiful offering? Is it even real? Because that is still a question. And I have some opinions about that. But this isn't about me. Let's dive in. So first of all, so we already told you a little bit about Kenneth. But Kenneth, can you tell us and our listeners about how you got to where you are today in the field of sexuality? This can be in your personal life as well as an educator, etc.
Well, I probably have one of the most like unlikely sex educator story. I was such an insecure Asian immigrant in this country. I always felt so sexually invisible. I moved here when I was 11, so it's this awkward age with dyslexia. So I mastered bad Chinese and bad English. So good luck, listener, with my English. But however, it was a really awkward time for me. And I've always been very sexual, but tons of insecurity. Always worry about my cock size. And being an average size penis owner here, you watch porn all this time and you're thinking you're not worthy if you don't have a porn star cock. So I grew up with that. And I thought if I get really fit and look like a superhero, it will like raise my stock and like hopefully get me laid. It actually didn't happen. I was a lifeguard at Coney Island Beach in Brooklyn. And I was relatively fit, but the internal insecurity never kind of went away. But I also learned how to hack their human body, do fitness, like all the biohacking, fitness hacking, like how do you have really low body fat and grow muscle and do all those weird things. So I figure if I could apply the same thing I learned in fitness, the methodology, and can I apply it into sex? And in my late 20s, after a terrible breakup, I decided to go like, I'm going to do this. And then, holy behold, I didn't know that I could apply a growth mindset to sex. And you could, you know, good lovers are not born, is made. So I really live by that. And I think a lot of the orgasm gap is a skill gap, you know, more than equipment. So, and I went down this rabbit hole on sex hacking. And the first thing I learned was squirting. So... And funny enough, I learned a lot at sex parties because I was like kind of the gym, right? It's evidence-based learning. I could look how people do things, and usually they're not doing it for a camera, although there's a lot of sport fucking when it comes to sex party too. However, they're still real life, real people, and I get to talk to them. So both I'm like nerding from scientific journal to real world application. And I found a way to really deconstruct sex in a way that is more like a personal trainer. You know how they say like a bear is not interesting, a unicycle is not interesting, but a bear that could wear a unicycle is interesting. So I'm that weird, you know, personal trainer background, sex educator. So I'm all about like skill acquisition. How do people actually learn to do it? Because I don't think most dude real like I'm not I don't want to shit on all the straight guys, but however they don't care like they improving clitoracy. Right? Doesn't really help them in the way that how do they apply it in the bedroom is what matters. So I don't think people only want to be more sexually informed. They want to acquire the skills. So I really focus on the skill acquisition. And now I'm like, my dick is all over the internet. I'm shooting porn. I'm making sex ed video. And here I am. Yeah.
Oh, I love this story, and I love the comparison of
the bear.
The bear and the unicycle. Yes, the visual is great there. But sex parties to the gym, and also how you talked about the application, and it's you said the growth mindset is really an interesting way to think about sex and the menu, the available menu for everyone out there. It can be this growth mindset. So that is really fucking thought provoking. Thank you for that. And thank you for being here. I'm so excited to talk to you. As Amy was mentioning before we started recording, we watched a video of some of your skills about squirting on this Beducated platform, and it was incredible. So let's talk about squirting from the perspective of someone that perhaps hasn't has never been able to achieve the art of squirting. Is there a way that they can adapt or learn how to squirt, or is it all about the partner involved? Or can you just talk a little bit more about, from a layman's term, a layhuman's term, squirting and how to do that?
Well, I think the first thing is I'm also running the world's largest scientific research on squirting right now with my business partner, Dr. Jana. So their last sample size with their previous study, and we have analyzed all the studies out there, is like less than 400 people. And since Dr. Jana is such a size queen, we got a huge data set, and we got like close to 8,000 people answering the survey. So we have pretty comprehensive data on not only like, I think it's there's an over-glorification of it on one end. Like everybody think is like, let's make this splash show. And then there's also removing shame, right? There's people feel a lot of shame about wetting their bed or squirting or whatever people feel. So we kind of want to do destigmatize it, also not over-glorifying squirting. So that's the first thing. But when it comes to squirting, I think most vulva owner, most women could do it, is a learned skill. And then there's a partner who's providing the sensation. There is voluntary, because you could learn to gain voluntary control versus, you know, someone inducing an involuntary version. And what I mean by involuntary is, you know, if try this, like stick out one finger, okay, I want you to poke yourself between your eyes. And then most people blink, right? That's a reflex. But keep your eyes open. Try not to blink. Try not to blink.
Oh, April
you could try not to blink.
She's a April squirter.
No, if you blink, you're a squirter. That'd be amazing.
It's that easy. Podcast over.
That easy. You know, like that thing when your doctor hit your knee and all of a sudden you do a kick involuntarily. So it's a reflex that you could trigger it by... just like you could stop yourself from yawning or you could yawn. There's voluntary control that you could gain over those PC muscles. So most people learn how to do it, but a lot of people equate that as fluid coming out as an orgasm. So that is not true. A lot of people don't orgasm while they're squirting. They could be adjacent, so they could, or parallel, they could squirting while they're coming as well. Some people love it, some people hate it, but it's definitely a learnable skill. But one thing that I really love about teaching squirting is sort of in a more nerdy sense, it is a great tool for neuroanatomy because G-spot, A-spot, cervical sensation respond to pressure a lot better than friction. So G-spot stimulation that cause squirting is a great way to teach the pressure, like how to adjust the pressure so it feels good. So I love teaching people how to produce sensation internally that feels very unique, very different, very strong. And it could lead to squirting and it could lead to orgasm with squirting, but it's definitely a skill. And most people who just watch porn and get their sex ed that way, like they learn how to drive by watching the Fast and Furious. They just like they have to learn the physics, real world physics. So once they get it, it's really effective.
That's not the way to learn, everyone. Not driving from the Fast and Furious. So, okay, I'm going to go into a personal Amy story about squirting. And so I think there's something in my family genetics because my mom, who listens to the podcast, hey, mom, what's up? Identifies as a squirter. And I also, my very first orgasm I ever had, I had already had penetrative sex with 3 people, never had orgasms, never squirted with them. My very first orgasm was when I was 18. I used the Water Dancer by Vibratech. Mm-hmm. So it's like a little, very powerful clitoral vibrator, which you can still find at purepleasure.com, everyone.
Purepleasureshop.com.
Oh, sorry. Jesus. Pure Pleasure Shop. Thanks, April. God, it's a hard day over here. Purepleasureshop.com. Use coupon code ShamelessSex. You get 15% off the Water Dancer. Anyways, so I used that. I squirted. I ejaculated. I produced a little puddle. I was by myself. I had a partner at the time. Actually, who's out the window right now? Hey, what's up? This is my ex-partner out the right now. What's up, ex-partner of many years ago? Anyways, we live in the same property. So anyways, okay, back to the story. So, and I knew what it was. I had already read, is it Deborah Sundahl's book about female ejaculation? So I was aware that it was a thing. And so I didn't shame myself, but I was like, what the fuck? And then it opened up the floodgates. And then when I would masturbate or with a vibrator, or actually have sex, then I could squirt for a while. Then what happened, and there will be a question here, by the way. Then what happened is I ended up still shaming myself, convincing myself I must be peeing. This must not be real, even though I knew that I'm like, but it's not because this is pleasure. I'm not peeing. It's very different. It looks different. It feels different. It smells different. When I start to pee, it's hard to stop the flow. Although I do have strong PC muscles, sometimes it's hard to stop. Whereas when I'm squirting, it's just like gushes, little like splashes. And then it turned off. So this is like early 20s. Then it turned back on when I was about 25 or 26 when someone milked, and I'm using the word milk intentionally, they rubbed my G-spot really hard to a point where it was almost actually too much, but they almost pushed the fluid out. And then it turned it back on. It was consensual, by the way. It was actually on the counter of my old retail store, Pure Pleasure, by the way. We were closed at that time, of the old sex shop. And then it turned on. Then it stayed on for a while. Then I had some traumatic stuff happen in a relationship, and then it turned off. Then all of a sudden the relationship was good, and then it turned back on. Then the relationship was bad, and it turned off. And so my question here is, actually will be multiple parts. I guess I want to break it up into a couple things. Because you made a face, and this video is on YouTube, by the way, so you can see when I said milking, you were like, I know what you're talking about. You can push it really hard and kind of force the fluid, but that might not actually feel good. Although in that moment, I was like, yeah, rough sex, this is great. And so I guess how can people learn to squirt in a way? Is what you're teaching, is it that like, let's push it really hard, push the G spot, or is it like slow, intentional build up to the point where the people have this relaxing release, which I've had? And then also my second question, and if that's too confusing for you, we can just address the first one. Do you see this where it goes on and off and it's based on emotional states and like there's a lot more to it than just the hand technique?
Yeah, I mean, you brought up so many different distinctions that I could kind of break it down to pieces. Let's talk about the emotional part. I think that's important because, okay, so baseline, I just finished writing my book during COVID and I got to interview Dr. James Fowles, which talks a lot about the dual control model. So Emily Ligowski wrote Come As You Are. So the dual control model is the brake and the accelerator. So when you're in an inhibitory system, right, you want to literally inhibit everything, your emotions, your brakes are on, so you don't feel maybe as relaxed or trusting to let go. Letting go as letting your body take over and just be in this function. You know, it's like you're holding down a burp or like hold, I mean, I don't want to sound more gross, but it's like holding in a fart. You just don't feel comfortable being yourself, right? It's not very different. So it could be that you're at that time, you just didn't feel like there's enough trust or you feel vulnerable and you just don't want to let go all the way. A lot of people, like first time squirter, would have a emotional release as well, because from the neuroanatomy standpoint, those, like especially your vagus nerve and your hypogastric nerve, it is the same more on the vagus. It's more how emotion, the motion part, like that gut level feeling, a lot of that sensation feels like a pier cramp, but pleasurable, you know? Right. So on that side, if you suppress your emotion, you don't feel all of it. Right. So because we could voluntarily shove our feeling down. Right. So if your emotional channel is not open, a lot of times that we inhibit our bodily function as a byproduct. So we are controlling it so we don't feel more pain or more pleasure. Right. So because letting go, you have to allow pain or pleasure go through your entire body. So my hypothesis at that time, you might feel more inhibited because you don't want to fully let go or surrender or be in your body experience. So that could be one thing about the turning off part. On the mechanical side, and please let me know if I'm being too nerdy.
No, we love nerdy. Yeah. We're like, nerds are hot. I love this.
So when it comes, so the G-spot right on, so the G-spot on top of the G-spot is the urethral sponge, which swells up while you get sexually stimulated. And a hypothesis from the study is that fluid builds up in your bladder as well during sexual stimulation, but not the same filtration that you go through making urine, because it just want everything to be engorged. So what we think that happened is that doing sexual stimulation, your bladder want to fill up quickly. That's why it's so much more diluted than if you were just, you know, urine. So especially for people who literally just pee before they went on one of the study and they get sonogram, and you literally see the fluid build back up really quickly. So we're not sure. I mean, we haven't done another sample of the sonogram, but those are the reason that we believe that the gushing liquid that you see in porn especially is fluid building up in your bladder. Now the urethral sponge built up some milky white substance, which is similar to prostate fluid. So the urethral sponge is the female version of the male prostate. So they also have a little ducts around your urethra that could come out. So it could mix this fluid from the bladder to the milky substance from the sponge. So you could have like droplets to like a shot glass worth of the milky white substance, or a Gatorade bottle worth of their clear fluid. So I think the best way to, and this is again, this is hypothesis still, we're like analyzing data, but so this is what I believe. When a guy have a hard on, it's really hard for him to pee because the swelling of the engorgement of the penis prevent, like it really shuts down. But you really could pee if you really try to. Like if you have a hard on, you really gotta pee, you could do it. It's the same thing that the swelling, it just prevent fluid from coming out. right? But you could kind of override it, especially doing intense orgasm when you're fully letting go and you're surrendering. For some people, fluid just comes out. I think when people are like feeling like their entire experience in their body, it's sort of a release, you know? And it could be release emotionally, the tension, the G-spot. And sometimes when people are having penetrative sex for the first time, it kind of feels like you have to pee a little bit, but not exactly. It could be a pleasurable. And that's where like Emily's book is so important. It's all about the context you associate with that sensation. So you talk about shame earlier. So imagine you're a typical female who want to keep the virginity, so don't penetrate internally. And then as soon as you start having penetrative sex, you have this weird feeling that you kind of have to be. And then you're thinking about, I don't want to pee in my partner. So you're just so used to clinching as an involuntary clinch. And until you find the partner that you feel safe enough and relaxed enough, the one that you will pee in the same bathroom where he's brushing your teeth, like that kind of relax and chill.
Yeah.
And then sometimes the squirting happened because it required the same level of comfort and trust. Mm. So, yeah.
So this is, I think, important when it comes to sex, especially in partnership or like the trust piece is so heavily underestimated or accounted for, right? Sometimes we just are goal oriented, which brings me to the subject of orgasm in relation to, because you mentioned sometimes you can ejaculate and it won't feel as though you've had the release of a typical maybe cervical orgasm or a clitoral orgasm or the difference from human to human can be so different. So I know from my own personal experience, I have ejaculated and haven't had the release of a typical orgasm that I feel is typical for me. So can you talk a little bit about how those things are related in terms of orgasm to ejaculation and if they're married or they're cousins or
are they even related at all?
They could happen in parallel, so you could have an orgasm. And the definition of orgasm is there's so many different sort of scientific definition, like is it the subjective experience you have in it with your brain, is it the release of sexual tension, is it the pelvic floor contracting in a certain pattern? They all could be depending on what the person feel, but you could definitely release the fluid without having the orgasm bit subjectively. So it's like what I talk about the trigger earlier, like hitting your knee like by the doctor, you could do that and then it would just let go because you know, it just comes out, but it doesn't mean that person enjoyed it or had an orgasm. But I think guys are so attached to the idea of like us ejaculating as orgasm. So we feel like we've done something when we see some splash show.
I did it.
So dear basic bro, it doesn't mean they had an orgasm. And, but I think many basic bros are also very caring too. They just don't know, you know?
Okay. Time for a quick break. This podcast was made possible by Uberlube. It's a luxurious silicone lubricant that enhances sex and intimacy. We receive emails from listeners who have tried Uberlube, and the feedback is unanimous. We never knew lube could be this good. It's also less likely to throw off the pH than most other lubes, and there are thousands of doctors recommending Uberlube to their patients, whether they want to make their hot sex even hotter or for folks experiencing dryness.
Uberlube is without a doubt my favorite lube. It has no flavor, no scent, and feels absolutely amazing on my body. And it isn't just for sex. I use it to tame my hair frizzies, to prevent chafing, and I even put some in my mouth before an oral sex session. Totally ups my blowjob game. Oh, and the bottle, it's beautiful. It looks like a cosmetic product. So I just leave it out on my nightstand, totally shamelessly. To learn why we think it's the best lube on the planet, check out uberlube.com and use code SHAMELESSSEX for 10% off, plus free shipping. Again, that's uberlube.com and use code SHAMELESSSEX for 10% off and free shipping.
This podcast is also free to you because of another one of our amazing sponsors like Dadgrass. Who doesn't love a trip down memory lane? Dadgrass takes you back in time when music was on vinyl, Hangouts been actually hanging out, and we didn't send you to the freaking moon. It's time to revive the pleasure of the casual smoke. Dadgrass is organic, smokable hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mind. Their 100% organic joints are very low in THC and high in CBD, so you can enjoy the effects of CBD while keeping a clear head. It's like having a glass of wine, not the whole bottle.
While Dadgrass is for vulva owners, penis owners, and all types of bits, they also offer Momgrass CBG joints for a more energized vibe. And best of all, their products are federally legal for ages 21 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. Plus, right now, Dadgrass is offering our listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/shameless. Go to dadgrass.com/shameless for 20% off your first order. That's dadgrass.com/shameless. Go get your buzz on with ease like the good old days. Dad is optional. All right, back to the interview. That's actually quite nice to say.
Well, and I think I don't want to shame anyone from the way that we learned. You know, obviously, like if we learned, we saw that in porn, or we had a past partner who squirted when they had an orgasm and that was their experience. So then you're like, but that's what I saw or what I learned. And you know, sex is so dynamic and diverse. And then I just bring it back to the idea of penis owners and how penis owners, you know, there's young 4-year-old penis owners who are wanking themselves. You know, they're like in the corner kind of rubbing one out, and they can have orgasms, but they're not ejaculating. Their body, it doesn't have the ability to do it yet. And then they have the ability later via hormones and all the changes. And then it goes hand in hand. And then there's the, you know, the penis owning people who eventually maybe want to learn how to have multiple orgasms without ejaculation so that they can have orgasm after orgasm without the refractory phase. And they get it. They're like, oh, I understand the fact that they're separate. But I think that the experience, and I also bring this to vulva owners, I know the people, so penis owners who have the experience of them being married, like April said, might have a hard time separating the two, and then their worthiness is built on like, I did it, which the whole, your worthiness being built on performing and making your partner have pleasure in itself, I think can be a trap. Also though, I know vulva owners who have never experienced, and they're like, it's not real. It's just pee. It's not real, because they've never experienced it either. They've experienced orgasm without it. They maybe have tried it and it hasn't worked. So maybe we could go with like, what are, and this goes with my first part question about like the milking the G-spot and the technique. You know, when you're, so I obviously emotional state and relaxation and safety have something to do with it. But if you were talking to the beginner and we were just giving them some like basic steps on how to learn, and maybe we could speak to you however you want to go about it, speaking to someone learning for themselves with their own hands, or you could speak to a partner, or maybe you do both, up to you, on how to provide this or learn how to do this. What would be like your top tips for some technique?
Well, I have a free video on Pornhub. It's like has over 7 million view, like on the technique that have their technique that I love to teach. So you basically, I mean, if this is a video on YouTube, you're making this gangster hand sign, right?
So imagine, the two middle fingers down.
Okay. Yeah. Imagine this is the anus and this is the clit. So my palm is pushing against the clit. And I'm pushing my hand up, so the back of my finger is pushing towards the anus, creating a free space. So for a moment, there is free space. And then I'm pulling back down. So I'm just going up and down like this. So my palm is in contact with the clit, and the back of my finger is pushing down towards the anus. And then my finger is going back up. So I'm not flexing my finger, I'm just using my arm. So
it's like
exercise,
a straight hand movement.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
But so pressure this way, and then going up and down like this. And because I was a fitness nerd, I kind of like try variation of like, how do I sustain that move like a UFC fighter? Because you don't want to lose. You don't want to reach.
You're cramping.
You're cramping. Oh, I'm almost there.
No,
don't stop. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So it's the best position is, and which is shown in the video. So you just look up Kenneth Play Squirting 101 on Pornhub. But you basically do, the person who's doing the hand motion is in a bent over row position, because you could use bigger muscles.
Wait, a bent over
row? Yeah. So a bent over row is a back exercise when you're pulling your arm this way.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So those are the bigger muscles.
Everyone's pause, going to YouTube.
You gotta watch this. Yeah. And then you are in a triangle stand with your, you know, one palm down, two knees, so your center of gravity is good. And then if one of her leg is on your shoulder, what it do is that it gives her a slight anterior pelvic tilt, meaning that her clit is closer to her chin. So she's bent this way, which helps too, because it gives you more leverage. And with all those things combined, and I've tested many variations of this, that's one of the most reliable techniques for first-time squirting. If you want a semi-involuntary version of it. And you could grow, you could go quite vigorously, and you could calibrate with their partner, but basically you could dial it in quite well, and then you also have a lot of control over the movement, and it leads to 90-ish percentile, and if you want to try it, yeah.
Oh, okay, so...
But wait. What part though? I think that
I'm trying to get a visual. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Yeah. I got the visual.
So if you want to have an orgasm accompanying that, the best way is to edge that person a lot. They're dying to have an orgasm, like an inch away from the cliff, right? And then do the move, and you will get enough clitoral stimulation from the palm and intense G-spot sensation. And it kind of makes you want to scream a little bit because there's a lot of sympathetic arousal. So flight or flight is when you have an orgasm. So when you combine all those things, then voila.
Oh, the magic happens. And so for everyone out there that doesn't know about squirting to gushing, because there's sometimes people think of squirting and they think it's going to be almost like a squirt bottle.
Like projectile?
Right, where it would come out like a stream shooting out where you'd have to wear some safety glasses. And they think of it like that. And I have seen porn where people do squirt and it is a stream that is very directed and it's impressive. And then in my experience, it's been more or less, for me personally, it's been more of a gushing that does not stream out. Does that have to do with just the person or the pelvic floor strength, or is it the type of stimulation the G-spot is receiving, or is it a variable? Is it a total variable that you just don't know what you're going to get? Can I learn how to projectile squirt?
She wants to get in my eye, is what she's saying. I want to get in Amy's eye.
Absolutely. You don't need G-spot stimulation to squirt. A lot of people could just do to any type of stimulation. It's sort of like you could learn to voluntary control that, just like your reflexes. You could try not to blink, even though someone's trying to poke you in the eye. Like, the reflex is to blink, but you could try not to. So you could override those reflexes. On my course, so on the point of video, I show the technique. On my course, I really do a lot of coaching on the receiver, because it's about when the receiver needs to be, first they need to associate that G-spot sensation, like change the context. You know, like when you, the way I coach it is that first I would tell them to squeeze my finger with their pelvic floor, right? And what that feels like versus a relaxed state and versus bearing down, like you're trying to pee a little faster, like you're trying to push a tampon out. So the best way to learn how to squirt is that when the partner is bearing down slightly, just slightly, and especially when they register that sensation, that intense G-spot sensation, it's counterintuitive, because when you feel that, you want to clinch, right? When I talk about when a lot of vulva owner, a lot of women learn about, you know, first-time penetrative sex. So what you want to do is do a little, I know I sound like a personal trainer all the time, but a little bit of coaching. So I would go like, when you feel this, bear down a little bit. But the guy must know all the type of muscular contraction their vagina could do. So they need to know what it feels like when someone is clenching, squeezing, versus relax, versus bearing down. Hmm. For some vulva owner is voluntary and they're conscious of it, meaning, and from just involuntary things just happening. So you want to turn some involuntary things into a voluntary control. So as soon as the receiver learn how to bear down just a little, and also the other coaching that I really love teaching is teaching them how to move that energy. There's a lot of like tantra or kink practice. When you have large sensation, right, large stimulation on your body, you know when you go down a roller coaster, you're like, dit. You know it's coming. So you could fight it, right? You could fight it, or you could just go and then like let yourself and like enjoy that experience. So the state of mind matters quite a bit. So if you could combine the giver and the receiver, right, and do it at the right timing, and everyone knows what they're doing, then it's super easy. And if their squirter want to squirt a little further, just bear down a little harder. That's the muscle that controls that.
So it's like a yeah. So and so coming to that bearing down.
Get
so like
your safety glasses ready.
The pushing out. Yeah, yeah, I'm wearing my safety glasses right now. Wait, where are your glasses? Oh, you were wearing them earlier. So you're kind of like pushing out as if you're trying to push some pee out or something or some sort of like pushing your genitals outward. I'm doing it right now, everyone. Yeah. Everyone, one, yeah. two, three, bear down. So nice, like the basement. Hey, here we are. So that's what one of your top tips there on how people can learn to do it. So have you ever met or worked with someone who they did all the things? They felt, you know, as safe as possible. They were bearing down and they still, a vulva owner, they still couldn't do this. You know, is this something that pretty much all vulva owners have the ability to do in your opinion?
Well, my sample size is probably definitely over 1,000 by now. And in the earlier days when I was testing, now it's only two user. I mean, I sound like a crazy nerd, but
no,
it's
I like
only
it.
Two. It's only two user case that I did not incorporate the coaching bit. Like soon as I do the coaching bit, then it's a, like at 100%. Like late. I mean, for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, it's 100%. The coaching bit was the critical part. It wasn't their guy. You know, it's like this the cliche, I'm going to make you squirt. Like you're supporting, you're inducing, right? But it really is her allowing her, you know, her experience and really letting go and surrendering and not fighting her own sexual function. And when she's in that state, it's not, I think the other part is that when you clinch and you receive intense G-spot stimulation and you're not in the trusting mode, it hurts.
Yeah.
Right? It's not the function your body wants, but you don't want that to happen, right? So you don't want the override to happen and it feels awkward and doesn't feel good. So as soon as my partner learned how to enjoy the experience, that's when everything changed. So instead of just coaching the giver, like it's actually both parties.
That makes sense.
So is it important to drink a lot of fluids if you aren't yet a squirter or a gusher and you are listening to this podcast and you're going to try it this evening, should you get ready like you just went to the gym and drink some electrolytes and you know, make sure you're all beefed up with the right amount of food and calories in your system?
Do I need to eat kale before, basically?
Right. Is that helpful? Because there could be a lot of pressure with the amount of fluids that are in your system. And so you need to be hydrated, basically.
Yeah, you don't. You definitely don't want to like pressure. Function pressure doesn't feel good. Like when people like want you to come for their own ego, it does not feel good. So the person who's giving has to be detached from the outcome. So I think that's really helpful. You just want to be in service. You want to focus on her pleasure. You're doing it for her. I think is a really good start. The second bit is, you know, be hydrated. Pee right before you do it. Let the fluid, like new round of fluid, build up, because if you have some leftover urine in there, it's going to come with, right? So you want to empty out your bladder prior. I'm going to give you all the sex hacks. You want to, if you like, for some people psychologically making a mess, you know, for the people who likes to keep everything clean and everything
April's
tidy.
April's raising her hand right now, everyone, just so you know.
I know. If you see a stain on your ceiling and you're having sex, that stain will ignore you the whole fucking time.
April be like, stop, I need to go clean
this
that.
This is resonating so much.
So you want to eliminate any inhibiting thoughts, like I'm going to ruin my sheets, whatever it is. So one of the simple hack is to buy a extra large puppy pad for extra large dogs because it's bigger. Put it underneath your bed and then put a towel on top so it's less clean up. It will suck up everything and you don't have to worry about your sheet. Have a waterproof mattress cover if you... So you want to create their psychological safety. I could just let go. It's all going to be okay, right? And you could clean it up like a pro. So that will lower inhibition, where we talk about the inhibitory system. And then this is big. If you work out, guys, shave your calluses. If you're going to rub your palm against a vulva, make sure you have nice hands. Go do your nails.
yeah.
If you don't, wear a latex glove. That would be and also looped up, like put a laughable amount of lube on your hand is great. So those are all the quick sex hack that you could do it.
Mucous membranes love some moisture, right? So that's pussies and cocks and even asses, right? Especially
saliva,
your asses.
Saliva doesn't last doesn't as long as it. Lube, and it just, you have to have the lubrication. Yeah. And a sex blanket, I love the Fascinator, and it does give me the security, knowing that I won't have to wash my sheets.
Yeah, it's that psychological.
And it's true. It helps me release and drop in and be more comfortable.
I have that even with all body fluids. Like, even if I'm not squirting, but my body is just producing more of like a milky consistency from cervical fluid based on my cycle, and then I'm like, oh shit, now I gotta like wash all my sheets and my comforter. And so just laying down, the Fascinator throw, again, also sold at purepleasureshop.com, said that right, makes a big difference, because then I can just relax and let go and let it get all over the place, whatever it is, and all I do is wash one blanket and it's super easy. Or maybe I just keep using that blanket again, it has some snail trails on it, you know, so it makes a big difference. And what's really interesting about squirting is, so it doesn't like pressure in the way that it's emotional pressure or mental pressure, where the partner is like, I want you to squirt for me, or like, I need to squirt. It doesn't like that. Most in pleasure in general generally doesn't like that. Erections don't like it. My pussy generally doesn't like that. Mm-hmm. But physical pressure, that is, so it's not emotional, it's the actual physical, like the whether it's from a vibrator on the clit, or hands or fingers on the G-spot, G area, or I guess here's another piece. Have you ever seen people squirt just from anal stimulation without it even touching any of the clit or the vag?
I mean, you touching the vag, do their.
I mean, it's kind of indirect G-spot.
Yeah, it's indirect. It's just like a membrane away. I'm actually making that content this week. I'm shooting anal squirting because people ask about it. So I could create their, I'm creating a little add-on mini course to my Sex Echo Pro course where I add anal squirting, because there's just new stuff that I've learned and different techniques that you could do. Obviously, it has to be really warmed up. That person has to be comfortable with anal sex to begin with. But once everything is ready to go, you could definitely have an anal orgasm with squirting. But American is really good at isolating things. Like, we like the vegan diet or the carnivore diet. We can only eat one freaking thing. So when it comes to sexual stimulation, it's not isolate, like, you are trying to isolate only a spot. And then we want this orgasm to be, I just tickle right here. But when it comes to orgasm, the nerves are do different spots. Just like you could get full eating steak, rice, and some vegetable, it doesn't make it better if you just eat meat. So usually a full meal is full of complexity. So people tend to want to isolate, but bring in the whole party, the more the merrier.
I think that's a good idea in general. It's the menu, right? Yeah. The menu, the sex menu. And the pressure piece is really, I think, important for everyone to take away, taking away the pressure, the mental pressure, because I know that I haven't been able to squirt on command. I'd love to, but I just can't.
When you have squirt, has it been from external toy?
So I was just going to actually, you're on the same
I'm curious.
Wavelength as me. So what I wanted to share with folks out there is that we're talking a lot about being penetrated by a giver, and the receiver is able to squirt. And I've had the experience, the first time I was ever able to ejaculate, I was using the magic wand, this extremely powerful vibrator externally. And I was able to squirt without any penetration at all. I was solo, and I was a bedwetter until a very late age. So I was super ashamed. And then I was like, and this was in my late 20s. And I turned that off because I was like, I don't want to clean up. This is like my mom yelling at me, telling me she's going to put me in diapers when I was 10 because I would wet to bed again. And oh my God, I can't do this. And so I shamed myself. And then I realized, like, wow, that was really cool. And then when I started to really drop into my sexuality, I have been able to do that again and again, of course, not on command, but from just external stimulation. So the question is, do you always need penetration for as I'm like the guinea pig here, but as I can attest to, I didn't. But do other folks out there, is this a commonality? Can people do this just with products or themselves or their fingers?
I think they associate G-spot stimulation because that's a more reliable way for first time squirting. But I think, I don't remember the number exactly, is about 50-50, like external only combination G-spot. But the pressure definitely have that like involuntary valve opening, and then there's enough pressure building up, so it just make it make it easier. But if you, you know, for a vulva owner, they just have to learn how to bear down a little bit. And when they have intense orgasm, not to hold back, not to clinch, because it's a, there's a very, you know, involuntary like habit, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have to learn how to like surrender and let your body do what it wants to do. Like you're riding your own waves and you have to not control it. So that's how the mindfulness practice is so beautiful, because it's about experiencing your experience. So as nerdy as I am, like growing up in Hong Kong, like the East is really love teaching people how to experience the world, and the West is how explain how the world work. I left their combination of both. So there is the science bit, but ultimately you still have to learn how to experience it fully.
I think that's super valuable. So our listeners are like, they love them some woo, you know, but like not a ton of it, because if it's all woo, you're like, it's all about the energy.
You're
they're
the
like,
perfect amount of woo
gems and crystals. Yeah. I'm tuning out. But then if it's all science, then we're just in our heads, right? There's like a beauty behind having the knowledge and technique. And yet there is such thing as too much, because then we're just trying to like hack all the things and look at our notes and like, let me press pause and go look at the book or go listen to this podcast again. And then I'll give you the orgasm. And it can get really confusing in there on how to navigate this whole space. So you just finished writing your book. I believe this podcast is coming out somewhere around November of 2021, and you have a book coming out. We don't have the ETA, I don't think, but what can people expect from your book? Like, what can you tell us a little bit more about that? And then also, we would love to know more about, you said some of the offerings on Pornhub and things, but what can people expect from your book, and how can they find you and work with you? And like, are you working people one-on-one? Like, can I go in a session with you right after?
Yeah. Yes, I do some one-on-one, but that usually with my mentor, Pamela Metzen, at a woman's own and run retreat called backtothebody.org, so Pamela Metzen. And that's why I got so much like hands-on experience from all walks of life, from different scenario, from learning how to release trauma, to learning all the ways it could have orgasm, to learning how to have multiple orgasm, extended orgasm, all the good stuff that you could learn, because to me, it's not very different than personal training. Like, it's a skill that you could learn. As far as the book is called Beyond Satisfy. And ironically, the Beyond Satisfy experience is able to give someone pleasure. It's not just so about receiving pleasure. So it's sort of a, you know, you could go both way on the Beyond Satisfy part, but it's really about endless orgasm, mind-blowing connection. The connection piece is really important. The safety, the connection, even in the most casual sex, you could still have intimacy. And the last bit is about lasting confidence, because I think skill, like having a skill, is what really gives you confidence. So I love to cook, and you could throw me in any kitchen and I could find something, I could make something delicious because I know how to cook. So I think a lot of men just don't have a vehicle or opportunity to really get proper sex ed. And not in a way that it's just about disease, but about pleasure, but in a way they could actually learn to do something. Because, you know, when guys really nerd out on something like jiu-jitsu, they really go after it because it's a thing that they could really embrace. So I love building confidence from competence.
So Pamela Madsen, that's where they can access how to find you?
No, that is... That is for the retreat that I work with her sometime. Okay. Yeah, for me, go to kennethplay.com. I have my Sex Hacker Pro course, which feature over 70 videos, 12 hours of content. I teach everything from kink to anal to penetration to oral to fingering to theory, anatomy, multiple orgasm. And I really break it down like a personal trainer. And the nerdy part of me broke it down like a game tutorial. So like you learn a new skill. Each skill is about like anywhere from 3 to 17 minutes of videos. And then you could try that skill right away. And then you built your skill. Because imagine you're learning like, okay, let's learn how to do anal entry. And then you slowly anal penetration. Then you learn bondage. And then you learn king, so you could tie someone up. Anal orgasm. Now with the new content I'm adding, you could get anal squirting while someone is tied up that really enjoys it. So you could combine skills and you can make it in any way you want.
It's like Zelda when you're getting all the treasures. Yeah, all the treasures and you're like, oh, I'm moving to...
I have so many treasures.
It's been a long time since I played, but that sounds good. It's like collecting treasures or like Pokemon. although I haven't played... but I know about it.
Maybe Pokemon. Although, actually, no, I did hear it. Never mind. That's a whole tangent, but some Pokemon kink and wearing Pokemon.
Squirtle. Has nothing to do with
Squirtle. Yeah, Squirtle. Squirtle. Is that your Pokemon name, Squirtle? Oh, my God.
This is so fun, Kenneth. You're such a wealth of information, and I love the personal trainer meets this sex coach, because you take all the fundamentals that are involved. It's not just a quick fix or a switch this and you're going to be able to do that. You really start from the ground up. So I love what you're doing, and keep doing it more. How many more treasures can we expect to collect from Kenneth Play?
Yeah, book is coming out Valentine's Day next year. Hopefully, pre-order could happen if we get everything on time, could happen even on Black Friday to start pre-sale. But I think there's another message I really want to send for a lot of straight guys out there. It doesn't matter how much money you have or how fit you are. Those things does not translate to sex skill. So you got all the money in the world, and you could be look like a supermodel, and you could be terrible in bed. So that is a whole separate domain. So I hope you invest time into work on that domain of your life as well.
Oh my God. Thank you for that.
Good message.
Yeah.
Where can they pre-order your book? Because I don't believe you shared that.
It's going to be on kennethplay.com. Just sign up for my newsletter. Follow me on Instagram. So everything at Kenneth Play. If you want to see some free content, go to Pornhub. Just type in Kenneth Play. I'm also now have to start create an OnlyFans account soon, because it's a better way to host content. So yeah, but I think, yeah, thank you so much for interviewing me and let me share my story.
We love you. We'll have all the information in our show notes, too, so you can click on the links and so that will all be there, too.
For your audience, if you coupon code SHAMELESS, all cap, will give you the Black Friday pre-sale, so 50% off my course. So normally I sell it for $497, you get $250 off if you use your code SHAMELESS, and I love promoting this way. So if you enjoy this podcast and you listen all the way to the end, you save $250.
I love that, and saving money is great. And support Kenneth Play, because he's supporting all of us with all of this amazing knowledge, helping us all, the world, become more tapped and tuned into our pleasure.
My vulva's happy about it.
And although Kenneth didn't mention hydrating with wine, sometimes you can also hydrate with some wine. Just mix it with some electrolytes. It will help you squirt. And
maybe.
I said it could. Maybe, perhaps. And it's happened to me before. Marginswine.com. You know why we love Margins Wine. We love it so much. It's small batch boutique wine. It's actually from California. Just sign up for the newsletter. There's only a few releases a year. You can try a bottle, or if you want to try three or more, you can save 10% off that order by using code SHAMELESSSEX10. Or if you buy six or more bottles, say 15%, just use code SHAMELESSX15. Remember, this is only available to our beautiful listeners. Just as Kenneth Play said, with the coupon code SHAMELESS on Kenneth Play's website, too, we'll save you a bunch of moolah. So get some wine, get some sex ed, get some squirt on. Yeah. All right.
Can I give your audience one quick hack? Like, super quick. It will only take me 30
seconds. Yeah.
So at the very end, if you master your skill and you give this person amazing, beyond satisfied squirting orgasm the first time, and then she's like in her puddle, the most beautiful thing you could say is, "Don't manage anything. I got you."
Ooh. Uh-huh. I think my pussy just got wet when you said that. Just saying.
Because management ink would drop back in immediately and just tell him, "You chill. I got you. I got this."
I love those pieces of just like,
come with a warm towel.
I love this. I can't get enough of this. All you need to do is relax. We are in no rush. I could do this all day. And by the way, you have nothing you need to do here. I got you. So I'm gonna go masturbate in the corner right now and go. I'm gonna go bait.
I'm gonna leave her to it.
No, you're gonna bait with me.
We've never tapped into the mutual masturbation yet. All right. Well, I am sad to say goodbye to you, Kenneth Play, but I know we'll see you again. You were incredible. And to all of our Shameless Sex listeners, go ahead, give us 5 stars on iTunes. It helps people find these amazing sex educators like Kenneth Play. It helps them squirt and gush and play. And we love you so much. Thank you for being part of the Shameless Sex Revolution. We'll see you next Tuesday. Ciao for now. Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.